Football on Off the Ball.
In association with the faster than ever Boyle Sports app. With hundreds of pre-live and in-play football markets. Download it now. Boyle Sports. Time to play.
You're welcome back. Arsenal have just gone 1-0 in front away against Sporting Lisbon. Danny Welbeck smashing a low shot in from the edge of the area. So Arsenal on course to make it 3 wins from 3 in their group in the Europa League. Celtic, though, remain 2-0 down away against Leipzig. Salzburg 3-0 against Rosenborg in that group. So Celtic currently in third place as it stands, and work to do in the second half of the Europa League group stage campaign. But it is 7:30 on a Thursday, and it's time to talk, as always, to John Giles. Evening, John. So another interesting week in the Champions League. We might start with Liverpool. They had a comfortable win over Red Star Belgrade last night. Mo Salah starting to find a little bit of form again. But really, it's at the other end that I want to talk to you about. Liverpool just looking a totally different side at the back now. 3 goals conceded in their 9 Premier League games, 6 clean sheets. I know when we spoke over the last couple of seasons, quite often you were concerned about Jurgen Klopp's ability, or maybe his desire to set up a side with a proper defensive structure. Has that changed this season?
Oh, definitely, Nathan. You got the new players in. Robertson's very good. Van Dijk. Goalkeeper, Alisson, is it?
Alisson, yeah.
Yeah. You know, really, really made it. The new new defence, Gomez has come into it. So they're conceding a lot less goals than they were last year. I mean, when Klopp was beaten last year, I said they were winning 2-0 and they pulled back to 2-2. He used to concentrate on, well, look at the goals, the chances we had to finish the game. Like, he didn't concentrate on the goals they gave away. It seems to be a different Liverpool now, and it's much better for them, Nathan. You know, because this season, I don't think they've scored as many goals this season as they did this time last year, but they probably have more points than they have. So it's a good sign. I know they won well last night, but I think it's a good sign for them that because you start with defence. Don't concede many goals, and then it takes less goals to win. So if Liverpool get back on the form that they showed last year for scoring goals and doing what they're doing, then they really are serious contenders.
Do you put it down to a better defensive structure then, or just actually the fact that they have better defensive players? If you're looking at a potential back four times of Alexander-Arnold, Gomez, Van Dijk, Robertson, 18 months ago, none of those players were playing.
No, I think that's definitely true. Obviously, the better defenders you get in, the less you have to coach them or teach them. They're natural defenders. And I think that's happened with the case. I mean, it was obvious for 2 seasons that they needed a goalkeeper, Nathan. There's no doubt about that. You know, they brought Van Dijk in. Gomez is back from injury. I think Robertson, who had been out of the side for a long time, for Moreno was in, which I found it very difficult to understand at the time. But Robertson's come in and has been really, really good. Alexander-Arnold is a young lad. I'm not too sure about him at the moment, Nathan, being a really top-class defender.
Okay.
He's very, very good going forward. But they're certainly a lot better than they were last year and especially the previous year.
It was almost a laugh and a joke at times last year. If Liverpool won a game 1-0, Klopp would come out afterwards and they talk about the stress and how it was so unusual that it wasn't really the style that Liverpool were playing with. Whereas you look at this season, so like you compare the stats, particularly away from home. Last season, Liverpool's first 5 away games, they conceded 15 goals and picked up 5 points from those 5 games. This season, they've conceded 3 in their first 5 away games and won 13 points. It's a massive difference.
Oh, it's a huge difference. You have to get a defence right. I mean, they used to say years ago, or even today, well, if they score 3, we'll score 4. I never believed in that, Nathan. There's no reason why you can't score 4 or 3 and not concede. You know, it's not one or the other. You know, all the great teams have had very, very tight defences. Manchester United, when they were on top, Liverpool years ago, you know, had very, very tight defences, conceded little or nothing. So it doesn't stop you scoring goals because you're defending well. And if you're scoring a lot of goals, it doesn't mean that you have to concede goals. And that's what Liverpool have at the moment. And that's what makes a real team. I mean, Salah hasn't been playing well. I know he scored 2 last night. Has been playing, but the forwards haven't been scoring goals. But it proves that if the defence is doing its stuff, you know, then you don't need to score many goals. And if and when they start scoring, that's even better for them. Because there were a few matches last year. I think there was one match in Newcastle. I think it was last year. Where they could, and Manchester City, but through balls, really, really poor defending. And Klopp was interviewed afterwards. And he concentrated on the chances that the forwards missed. You know, but the forwards can only, they'd already scored one goal. Doesn't mean you have to concede any goals. And that's what they're doing now. They're scoring goals. And most importantly, or just as importantly, they're conceding very, very few.
It must
so they should have now, with Salah getting back on form, the forwards getting back on form, actually the complete team, Nathan. That's a real, they're real contenders for Manchester City if they continue to do that.
So you actually do look at Liverpool now and don't really see any weaknesses?
No, I think they could. I think they're missing a real creative player in the middle of the field, Nathan, to be the finished article. You know, they've got Henderson in there. He's not creative. Milner's great at what he does, but he's not great. In the middle of the field is good. You know, they have somebody to come in. I don't like the look so far of the new Brazilian player that they brought in,
Fabinho.
Nathan.
Fabinho, who played last night.
Yeah. He played a bit better last night than the previous match, but he really came into it when the match was over, you know, when Liverpool really didn't need all that much. But I'd want to see a lot more of him to do what's needed to be done in the middle of the field. And that's the only thing I'd hold back. I mean, going forward, they've got the forwards, as we've seen. But in the middle of the field, that creative force that's needed that Manchester City have, say, in De Bruyne, you know, they had Kante, Chelsea, that really, really top-class midfield players. I don't think Liverpool have that creative force. They've got some good players, really, really. Milner's terrific at what he does. But I think if they got a really creative player in the middle of the field, they would be the finished article then.
You don't think at some stage maybe Shaqiri could progress to be that player?
I don't think so, Nathan. I think he's good either side. You know, he's a very, very good player. He's been a very good signing for them. But I think he does his best work in the wide areas. I can't see him being in the middle of the field actually controlling the game. I don't think he's that type of player. I think he's more of a forward and a raider and very, very good at it. But I wouldn't see him as that type of player that's in the midfield general, as they used to say.
The way they've improved defensively then, like that must give... It must settle everybody else on the pitch, because at times last season there was almost a sense of panic when Liverpool were 1-0 up, at home even, that they had to get a second because, well, there was always probably a mistake in Lovren in the last 5 minutes and would they be punished for it? It feels like psychologically it's such an important thing for Liverpool that actually it can just keep a real calmness around the entire team.
Oh, there's no doubt. The defenders only have to do the stuff which they're doing. I mean, there were some matches when Liverpool were 3 up, Nathan. And they pulled back to 3-3. 2 up was nobody. You know, they could lose it at any time. But that's when they had, you know, they have strengthened the defence. You know, Van Dijk has come in, Gomez has come in, Robertson is very good, has come in. I mean, they had 3 players that weren't there not so long ago. And the goalkeeper. What about the goalkeeping situation at Liverpool for a long time? So that's a huge, huge change. And obviously, if you get those players in, you're going to concede less goals. And that's what's happening at the moment. Now, what they've got to do now is get the forwards back on real scoring like they were last year, and hopefully the midfield to do enough to overcome teams, overplay teams in the middle of the field through their industry rather than their creative style.
He has a lot of options in midfield. Granted, none of them maybe right now are truly world-class, and he has rotated things and starting to rotate a little bit more with that midfield three between the various players. As they go on through the season, do you want to see Klopp have a set midfield three that he very much knows the three players that are best for getting the best out of everybody else on the pitch? Or do you just accept, actually, in modern football, maybe rotation and figuring it out game by game is the way forward?
I think, he can only go what he has, Nathan. And to be honest, what I see at Liverpool, no matter what three they put in, of the 4 or 5 players they have available, they're pretty much of a muchness. You know, Milner's very, very good. Wijnaldum is very, very good. Henderson is okay. But they just don't have a creative force. So I think that if whatever midfield he plays, I think it'll be pretty much of a muchness.
Talking of creative forces, so Manchester City got the win against Shakhtar on Tuesday night. Kevin De Bruyne was back in the side, but David Silva, again, was just exceptional. And I don't know if it's maybe nostalgia that when we asked about greatest Premier League teams of all time, you still always go back to midfielders, the likes of Keane, Vieira, the real tough players with brilliant ability. And for some reason, David Silva, because he's maybe still around, he doesn't fit into that mix. But when you look at his body of work over the last 7-8 seasons at Manchester City, he has to be right up there with as good a midfielder as we've ever seen in the Premier League.
He's brilliant. I love him. I think he's a terrific lad. Great attitude and everything. To have Bruno back is a big help to them. I mean, I watched the Man City match the other night. They were very, very good. But again, Silva was outstanding. But to have Bruno back is a big, big help to them, Nathan. You know, he's been a big loss. I don't think they have anybody else in the middle of the field that can do what he can do. I mean, even Silva plays to the left side and scoring goals. Well, he's always scored a few goals. He's scoring goals again this season. But to have De Bruyne back and Silva back in the team and have that choice from Guardiola's point of view is brilliant. They were very, very good the other night, Nathan. You know, they played really well. They outclassed this team. But they've had this team are no mugs. You know, they've had really good results there. But they really, really outplayed them totally.
What is it when you say that they don't have another player like De Bruyne? What is it that he has, that X factor, that nobody else, even a team of the quality of Manchester City with the brilliance of someone like David Silva, what can De Bruyne do that nobody else can do?
Well, he can. I think he can control games from the middle of the field. You know, David Silva never controlled play. He was an extra and a brilliant extra, but he couldn't do what De Bruyne does. De Bruyne actually can get it, link the back from back to front, and scored a few goals himself. But they haven't had anybody in here to replace him in those positions. You know, they had quite a few players, like Sterling, Silva, the Bernard Silva as well, Sané can do a lot of those things. But none of them could actually do what De Bruyne can do. Actually, there's very few players in the Premiership can do it. So he can link back to front and he can do it extremely well and score a few goals for them as well with that vital pass. He has that vital pass in him, Nathan, that that City don't have with any other player.
They're away to Spurs in the Premier League. That's not till Monday night, that game. Manchester City are still unbeaten. They're starting to rack up some big scores again, particularly against some of the weaker teams in the Premier League. When you watch them then against Shakhtar, and as you say, like, they're the first English team to win away at Shakhtar Donetsk. It's not the easiest place to go. Do you see any weaknesses in this City side, and do you see that they've corrected any of the weaknesses from last season that saw them not win the Champions League?
Well, they've only played a couple of Champions League matches this season, Nathan. They're still doing well in the Premiership. They did extremely well in the Premiership, as we know. They broke all sorts of records last year. He's never really, really emphasised the defence. But there again, there was only Manchester United conceded less goals than them last year. So I think it'd be pretty much of a muchness. I think there will be days when Liverpool caught them, and beat them well. There's always a possibility of that. But again, they lost very few games in the Premiership last year. And I think they will have learned from the Champions League last year that they won't make the mistakes. I wouldn't imagine they'll make the mistakes that they made last year, Nathan. But the Champions League is the Champions League. You know, they can only go on what they can do. And last night or the other night, they did extremely well against what has been a tough match for people visiting there.
Mm. Stay with us, John. I want to take a quick break. Arsenal, by the way, still 1-0 up away against Sporting Lisbon. They're into the fourth of 5 minutes of injury time in Portugal.
Football on Off the Ball.
In association with the faster than ever Boyle Sports app. Multiples made easy and personalised content on every sport. Download it now. Boyle Sports. Time to play.
Looking for new dinner ideas? Why not take the plunge with Irish mussels? They're easy to cook and easy to enjoy. Just add garlic, a dash of chilli and serve with pasta. Pick up in store from the fish counter or in ready-to-cook packs. So go on, flex your muscles. See recipes at boardbia.ie/fish.
I'm Des Cahill, and I was lucky that my career in journalism coincided with the greatest era in Irish sport. Now I've gathered my tales from Olympic Games, World Cups, Ryder Cups, All-Ireland Finals. It also contains my life story and tales from my career as a news reporter. Published by Trinity Mirror, the book is called Play It Again, Des, and is available now from bookshops.
Oh, it's for October and for optimists. Those people who always believe there's something amazing around the corner, like Carphone Warehouse with its exclusive October deals. Get the Samsung S8 free or the Samsung S9 for $99.99, both on a €40 a month plan. All when you switch to Vodafone, Ireland's number one network, but only with Carphone Warehouse. Save on the Samsung that suits you with expert advice from Carphone Warehouse, the home of the networks. Any network, any phone, any plan, only Carphone Warehouse. T's and C's apply. Offer subject to 24-month contract.
The Pamela Scott Bank Holiday event is now on. Get 20% off full-priced items all this week at Pamela Scott, Ashley Reeves and Lisa Perkins stores and online at pamelascott.com. Use voucher BANK20 for online orders. The Pamela Scott Bank Holiday event is now on. Terms and conditions apply. See in store for details.
The referendum on blasphemy is happening this Friday, the same day as the presidential election. So make sure you're all set. Have your ID ready and find out where you go to vote. Polling stations are open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Be a voter, because on Friday, your vote means everything. Brought to you by the Referendum Commission.
Your expectations for this radio ad are probably, well, indifferent. You were expecting another generic voiceover, but instead, you've got me. Similarly, every so often a car comes along and your expectations are redefined. The new Mazda 6 is so perfectly crafted, it redefines a whole category with its groundbreaking design and swathes of luxury features. Experience it for yourself at your local Mazda retailer or at Mazda.ie. The new Mazda 6, redefining expectations.
Turkish Airlines Sales Festival has started. Buy your ticket until the 4th of November 2018 and fly until the 16th of October 2019. Discover the world with Turkish Airlines special fares. Terms and conditions apply. We fly to more countries than any other airline. For more details, please visit turkishairlines.com or call your travel agent. Turkish Airlines. Widen your world.
At M&S, we're committed to bringing you the same great quality at new lower prices. From restaurant quality gastropub meals and decadent desserts to everyday essentials, you can now enjoy the quality you expect at prices you love. Same great quality, new lower price. M&S. For less, see in store for details.
Football on Off the Ball.
In association with the faster than ever Boyle Sports app. For exclusive price enhancements on the biggest games around. Download it now. Boyle Sports. Time to play.
So it's now 11 wins in a row for Arsenal. A 1-0 win away at Sporting Lisbon. We'll see if they make it 12 wins in a row on Off the Ball on Sunday. Their game against Palace is live. We'll also have Manchester United against Everton. And who knows, maybe Spurs are going to end up in the Europa League alongside Arsenal. It's probably the best they can hope for after that 2-2 draw with PSV Eindhoven last night. John Giles is still on the line. John, when you look at that result last night and the fact that they were 1-0 up against Inter Milan and ended up losing the game, is it just the mentality problem for Spurs? People talk about the lack of summer signings, but is this just actually something in their heads that they cannot get over the finish line in these big European games?
Well, you need to defend well when you're doing it. And if you look at last night, if you watch the match, Nathan, you know, the goalkeeper really made a very, very bad mistake. Mm. Really terrible mistake. He was sent off, and he couldn't. I know that he tried to object to it, but there was no objection. I mean, it was a dreadful mistake. He came about 25 yards out of his goal. You know, the forward going through had an awful lot to do, and got sent off, and it obviously changed the game. So it's you know, it's not a coincidence when you lose goals late in the game like they have done. It means you're not concentrating properly, not defending properly, and. Like the Inter Milan match we saw a couple of weeks ago, they should have won that. They should have won that game last night. But that's all ifs and buts, and you just got to do it. And they haven't done it.
Mm. It raises a big question, I guess, for Maurizio Pochettino, the form of Hugo Lloris. He's had his off-the-field issues with the drink-driving ban. Pochettino stuck by him, kept him as his team captain, kept him as his first-choice goalkeeper. But it does seem as though those type of mistakes, and they're pretty catastrophic mistakes in a footballing sense from Hugo Lloris, massively costing his team, that maybe he's not the goalkeeper he once was. That again, mentally, maybe he's just not in the position you'd want in such big games.
Well, for whatever reason, he's not doing it. I mean, I see Pochettino really backed him up today, and he said, oh no, that wasn't the case, and he thought it was a bit harsh to send him off. You know, most managers say that. It wasn't, he deserved to be sent off. And it cost him really, really badly. But, you know, he's been loyal to him. But you know, that can only go so far when it's really costing you results, Nathan, and you know, he might have to do something about that.
Yeah, what a Manchester United then. Played off the park in the first half against Juventus, better in the second half, and all this coming off probably one of their better performances of the season away at Chelsea, where they really should have seen that out and got would have been a pretty big win for Jose Mourinho's side. What are you saying and what are you thinking about United right now?
Well, I thought against Chelsea they were very poor in the first half and they picked it up. They might have won it in the second half. They lost the goal in the last kick of the game near enough. Nathan, but I think on in the Champions League match, I thought Juventus totally outplayed them, and I think Juventus, like most of the Italian teams over the years, when in the second half, Nathan just tied up the game. I think if they'd gone for it again, they would have scored more against right. Manchester United. I think they sat back and let United come into the game, but when it was a real match, I think looking at Juventus, they're potential Champions League winners. But I think when they really played, they totally outplayed Manchester United. Chosen. I think they allowed Manchester United to come back into the game,
right.
Nathan, to be honest.
Yeah, because I think maybe some of the reaction was that actually United found their feet in that second half and gave a far better account of themselves. And actually maybe there wasn't as big a gap between the sides as we saw in the first half.
Well, that's true. But I don't think it was because Manchester United played well, to be honest. I think it was because Juventus decided, well, one up. And with the defenders they have, as we know, they defend particularly well. And it has been the case with the, you know, over the years and years that Italian teams do that. I think if they'd really kept at Manchester United, they would have scored more goals. That's my view of it. And I think they allowed Manchester United to come back into it.
Mm. It seems pretty remarkable that we're into the third season of Mourinho at United and you still don't get any great sense that he knows what his best team is, that heading into any match what the system is going to be, whether it'll be two in midfield or three in midfield, whether we go with the three all-out attackers of Martial, Rashford and Lukaku. Is that feeding into the inconsistency at United?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think at this stage, going in two and a half seasons, like you have to compare him with Guardiola. Guardiola came to Manchester City at the same time as Mourinho did. Now he might say, everybody might say, well, he spent more money and he's doing this and that, but they did come at the same time. I mean, Mourinho spent a fair bit of money himself, but he had a little bit of a go even after the match the other night when he said, when you've got defenders. The two lads at the back, Benucci and Chiellini, you can afford to let the forwards go forward a lot more. You know, in other words, I haven't got those defenders, so our players can't do that, which is the biggest load of rubbish going, because, you know, the defenders doesn't stop the forwards from doing well. The defenders stop them losing goals, but he's still going on about the central defenders, Nathan. But as we've said before, he's paid an awful lot of money for central defenders there at Manchester United. They were his choices. But, I think Juventus looked like a team that could win the Champions League.
Right.
And Manchester United certainly didn't look like a team that could win the Champions League.
Just before we wrap up, what did you make of his behaviour at the end of the game on Saturday against Chelsea? Was it excusable? He has a coach taunting him right in his face?
Well, the coach of Chelsea shouldn't have done that. I mean, it's bad behaviour. But as Mourinho said himself, you know, he's behaved very badly himself over the years. But he did go down to the Manchester United supporters, Nathan, I watched on the telly. And when he's coming back, he's still giving them the three fingers of the Chelsea supporters, the three fingers off the when he was at Chelsea. And that's not exactly great behaviour either, you know. That's it. But I think the Chelsea coach was wrong to do what he did. There's no doubt about that.
John, good stuff as always. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Nathan.
All right, up next after 8 o'clock, we are live at the PwC offices in Dublin to celebrate PwC's ongoing support of Gaelic Games. Shane Stapleton will be joined by Mark O'Shea, Owen Kelly and Jackie Tyrrell to preview next week's All-Star Awards. That is on the way next.
Listen back to your favourite News Talk shows at newstalk.com and on the News Talk app.